Good evening. Welcome to another night of our novena in honor of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you would join me with a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The topic for tonight's novena talk is fiat, seeking and following God's will. And every night for this novena, we're focusing on different aspects of prayer, as Pope Francis has dedicated this year to be the year of prayer. And so it was a very beautiful topic for me to prepare for tonight, because fiat is, that's Mary's kind of hallmark, so to speak. She spoke fiat, which is let it be done, to the angel, and she conceived our Lord by the Holy Spirit. And that's really the pinnacle of everything for her. I mean, Mary being the Mother of God is the reason for everything else, that all of our devotion to her, all of what our Lord did for her, her Immaculate Conception, everything we know about her, it revolves around this, her relationship with our Lord. And so this is a beautiful aspect of devotion to Our Lady, just to appreciate how open she was to our Lord's will, and of course still is perfectly open to his will. So how does this tie in with prayer? Well, fiat is the fruit of prayer, and we also pray to discover what God's will is. And I believe that devotion to Mary fosters a heart that speaks fiat all the time. So let's look at that. This is a very full word. If you would pray with me this one aspiration from the Angelus: Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. That is her fiat: be it done unto me, be it done. Upon that response, she conceived our Lord. When Our Lady utters this word, and when we say it in union with her, in imitation of her, it's a very full word. It means let it be done. It also means I accept, I embrace, I cooperate, I submit, I will not take this decision back. This is a permanent disposition of the heart, and that's what we mean when we talk about Mary's fiat. So when we imitate her fiat, we mean all of those things, not just a one-time yes. Although there are times in our lives where we feel the fiat more keenly, you know, such as following your vocation, or when we know our Lord is asking something that involves a major life change for us. Different areas of conversion, or the different testimonies that we hear from people in November when we talk about stewardship in our diocese, and they speak about taking this risk, this step of faith, to live a stewardship way of life more fully. That's a fiat, and that's why those testimonies are so powerful for us. St. John Paul II wrote that Mary's fiat was a disposition of her heart. She was expressing the position that she's always in relationship with our Lord. Her disposition is always fiat. She is always speaking this fiat to him in her heart. Her expression of it at the Annunciation flowed from a heart that was already saying yes to him throughout her life. It wasn't just a one-time thing or a new thing. This is something that she lived. So this discerning and following our Lord's will is the first step to seek to have a heart that's like hers, where I say yes to him all the time. Oftentimes, I've had priests and parents, various people ask me, what can I do to foster vocations? How many convents do you visit? How long do you visit? How do you know which convent to visit? What age do you start visiting? All these practical things. How do we pray? Well, we could put it on a timeline if saying yes to your vocation is the same type of yes that you say to a career or moving or purchasing a car. A yes to your vocation, however, is different. It's a fiat. So this is a lifelong, let it be done unto me. I accept, I embrace, I cooperate, I submit. So there's not a timeline for this. There's not a program that we can put together. You go through this program, pray at this age, say these things with these convents, and then make your decision. We can't force it. What we do is we discover our vocation. We discover the person we are called to marry. We discover that I'm called to religious life. We discover a call to the priesthood. And then we go through an interior process of saying a full fiat to that call. So when I'm talking to priests or parents or young women about this, what I tell them is the first step is simply to fall in love with our Lord, to develop a prayer life. This is an imitation of Our Lady. And the goal is for that young woman to have in her heart a disposition of fiat. When she is in a place where she spent enough time with our Lord, when she trusts him, she knows him, she loves him, to the degree where she can say with confidence and joy, Lord, whatever you ask of me, the answer is yes. I trust you. I love you. I know that you will the good for me. I know that your ways are amazing and joyful and life-giving. Let it be done, whatever you say, whenever you say it, however you wish it to be done. That's how we foster vocations. To any vocation, religious life, but also marriage and priesthood included. Every single Christian is called to be in this position with our Lord. It sounds radical, but it's actually appropriate if we know who God is and who I am, or as St. Catherine of Siena, who I am not. Or our Lord said to her, you are who are not. Our Lady shows us how to do this. We are all called to be other Marys and to have this fiat in our heart. But why should we desire this so much? I think we need to understand why we should desire this. And Our Lady helps us to see this. Our community, my favorite part of our constitutions, which tell us exactly how we live religious life, there's a beautiful illustration to understand how obedience and docility to God's will works. In the section on obedience, there's an article that states that our Lord, Jesus, from all eternity, sang an obediential love for the Father, to the Father, and this is expressed in the Psalms, I come to do your will, O Lord. Then the phrase goes on, the article goes on, in the fullness of time, our Blessed Mother joined her fiat in harmony with his. So notice this is not the same note. Our Lord, the Son, sings, I come to do your will, O Lord. He sings obediential praise to the Father. Our Lady joins her fiat, but it's in harmony with his. It's not a divine voice. It's a human voice. So what we see is over time, as we get to know our Lord and we trace salvation history throughout the Old Testament, this song becomes more and more beautiful as more and more of it is revealed to us. As we see how this works through the Old Testament and then Our Lady adding her voice in perfect harmony. And then the article in our constitutions goes on and says that we are to join in this song because there is no other way to heaven except union of wills with the Father. So Our Lady is the one who teaches us how to sing in harmony. And the beautiful thing about this is that our notes will not be the same as hers. Every single one of us sings in our own way. We harmonize according to our own unique voice. My personality, my temperament, my ability, my desires, my specific calling from God. Each of us has a unique fiat to offer to our Lord. And it's precious, and Our Lady teaches us how to learn to harmonize. So obedience has to do with salvation. And this is beautiful. When I'm fulfilling an act of obedience, I know that there's a soul or souls on the other end of this. This is very real. And I don't know who those souls are, but I'm in the act of saving souls. Our Lord was obedient unto death, death on the cross. The cross is salvific. Our salvation is an act of obedience by our Lord. So why do we hesitate? The devil feeds us the lie. There are three major lies that the devil feeds us. One is that God is not a loving father and that we cannot trust him. We can say in our hearts, yes, God is all powerful. But then there can be a question, but can I trust him? And what if, the what if temptation plays in our, on our fears? What if God asks me to give this thing that I don't know if I can surrender? What if he wants me to do something that's very difficult? What if he asks something that causes pain? We can't give up on trust. It's difficult to trust, but we can't give up. If we give up on trust, the enemy wins. We must admit at the same time that trust doesn't come easily. Yet trust is the language of fiat. It's the language of love. Our Lord knows how difficult this is, and so he helps us. He reveals his love to us in the divine mercy image. We see love and mercy pouring out of his heart. Not a distant, cold judge, but love and mercy. And our Lord told Faustina that a certain phrase was to be seen at the bottom of every image of the divine mercy. So this image in itself reveals his love for us, and the phrase at the bottom teaches us how to respond. What is the loving response to our Lord's love and mercy? Jesus, I trust in you. This very much helps us to say fiat to him. This image, the divine mercy, that's who I'm saying yes to. Not some distorted, distant God. It's our Lord who has shed his blood for me, who cares for me. Perfect love casts out all fear, and trust is the language of love. How did Our Lady have perfect trust? How did she follow him so perfectly? She knew him. If we know him truly, if we really know him, then we know that we can trust him. I have an illustration for this, a story that I love. There was a little boy who was on a second story. You might have heard this before. He was on a second story of a burning home. His father was on the outside under the boy's window yelling at the boy to jump. The boy couldn't see his father through the smoke, but the father could see him. The little boy trusted his father so much that he leapt through the blinding smoke at the sound of his father's voice. He knew his father, and he knew he could trust his father. He heard his father's voice, and he jumps. That's trust. How did Our Lady know him so well? We read several times in Scripture how. She ponders his word, she treasures his word, she keeps his word in her heart. We need to allow our Lord to reveal himself to us, and he reveals himself as he truly is. He himself needs to reveal himself to us. I need to give him a chance to do that. If you look through the Old Testament, every time God describes himself, he describes himself as compassionate and merciful. This is a theme throughout the Old Testament. Be not afraid is a phrase that we hear throughout the entire Old and New Testament. Pondering his word, spending quality time with him, that's how I get to know him and give him a chance to reveal himself. Our Lady models this for us, and she accompanies us in doing this. She shows us, like any good mother, how to slow down, how to allow him to show me, how to open my heart to him. If I don't do this, I will have a distorted view of him, because that's what sin does. It distorts our vision of the Father. Another obstacle and lie of the devil that hinders my ability to say fiat to him is the thought that seeking my way is the greatest good. My way will bring me the greatest happiness. I know better than anyone else what will make me happy. The belief that true freedom is being independent and not considering anyone but myself. Also, all the language of like self-care being the most important thing. I do need to make sure my needs are met. I do need to recognize that I have a God-given dignity. But this needs to be balanced. This isn't the whole picture. Now, the lie that has to do with my way that I fall for is martyrdom, a false martyrdom. I can have my will and be happy, or I can have God's will and be heroic. That's distorted, okay? But it feels like that. And so that's a false martyrdom. I feel as if I am sacrificing my happiness for our Lord. It's an unnecessary martyrdom. So this incessant opposition to God's will is unhealthy. If that's all I see, God's will becomes an imposed burden rather than a sweet relief. The remedy, and Our Lady models this for us, is integration, knowing what I really want deep down. As I develop an interior life, pondering his word, I grow in healthy self-knowledge. And self-knowledge is, we speak of it, and sometimes self-knowledge oftentimes is, oh, I have to admit, I have this fault, I have this vice, I need to work on this. But self-knowledge is also very good, very positive, I should say. It's all good, but some of it's painful. But there is also a self-knowledge that's very comforting. As I grow in self-knowledge, I grow in knowing, experiencing that I have a desire to be with our Lord. I grow in experiencing the desire, the immense capacity he has put in our hearts for union with him. But I experience a conflict, and the conflict is we have a surface will, a surface desire, a shallow desire. And the language of our shallow desires is, I feel like, I don't feel like, I want, I don't want. And the language of deep desire is, I deeply desire. There's a very different way in these two desires, I deeply desire or I feel like. So just an example, let's say I like Almond Joy candy bars. I don't, but I've learned to use examples that aren't true so that people don't, here's an Almond Joy, sister, you know. So I don't like Almond Joy candy bars, but let's say I do. We're using the language of surface desire here. I like Almond Joy. Is there anything wrong with enjoying an Almond Joy? No, nothing wrong with that. So these shallow desires are not bad, it's what I experience. But what if it's 15 minutes before Mass is supposed to start, and I'm at school, and I notice that someone has put an Almond Joy candy bar on my desk for me? At this point, is it a good idea to enjoy that Almond Joy candy bar? No. But here's the secret of our Lady, and it's beautiful. If I'm in touch with my deeper desires, I'm not saying no to Almond Joy. I'm saying yes to a deeper love. Our Lord created us always to be saying yes. The problem is we get distracted by shallower desires that rob us of the deeper yeses that keep us on track. So I can stare at that Almond Joy and think about what a pity it is that I can't have it. Or I can think about the Eucharist and put everything in perspective and not look at the Almond Joy as something evil either. You know, oh, this is a temptation, I need to renounce it. Almond Joy, go to the devil, you know, whatever. That's also not balanced. You know, I can say, I enjoy that, but it's conflicting with a deeper desire right now. And I'm saying yes to my deeper love. Our Lady didn't have this struggle because she was integrated. Everything was aligned in her. What I mean by that is her deepest desires were always very present to her. She wasn't distracted from them because she was so well grounded in them. And she can help us to be the same way. I need faith in God. I need self-awareness to identify and live by my deepest desires. And this is a way in which obedience, my fiat, becomes very freeing, very positive. It becomes a language of love instead of a language of I can't. So, practically speaking, how does Our Lady help me to say this joyful fiat to our Lord? It's the rosary. I pray the rosary with this in mind. For me, the rosary is quality time with Our Lady. It has helped me to learn from her how to see with the eyes of faith, how to identify what I really want, how to seek our Lord as the highest of all goods, She teaches me how to say yes to him in big ways and in small ways. And she shows me her son, and she shows me how to trust. Now, the final obstacle to fiat that I would like to touch on is another ploy of the devil, fear. Fear is the devil's playground when we allow it to rule us or to push us. However, when we calmly take a step back and look at our fears, my fear can show me what I need to bring to our Lord. Then it becomes a bridge instead of a wall. I can fear what God will ask of me, and this fear can definitely hinder my ability to say a joyful yes. I can fear my ability to do what he asks. I can fear my ability to suffer. But Our Lady can help me to overcome this. And again, I turn to her in the Rosary, especially the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows. The Rosary of the Seven Sorrows has helped me tremendously in life. Our Lady suffered through being asked things that were overwhelming. She was asked, "Will you, a poor teenager from a tiny town, be the mother of God?" She was a refugee. She left Bethlehem in the middle of the night with no time to prepare, fleeing from men who wanted to kill her son, into a land where she had no relatives and they did not practice her faith. She only had Joseph and Jesus, which is a bit sweet, but it's still a very scary situation for all of them. She suffered the ridicule and hatred aimed at her son during his ministry. She suffered the death of her husband. She watched the violent death of her son and his burial. How is it possible to consent to the Father's will in these situations? Did she shove down the pain? Was she a stoic? Was her faith so great that she didn't acknowledge the pain? It wasn't a thing because her faith just outweighed it. How is it possible to say a painful fiat? It can appear as if there's two options here, and it's both of them are unhealthy. Either to admit the pain but resist it, or to ignore the pain and pretend it doesn't exist so that we can say a fiat. But Our Lady did neither of these. She teaches me how to consent to our Lord's will in the midst of pain. Praying the Rosary of the Seven Sorrows, she has taught me how she knew that no circumstance was big enough or evil enough that it could carry her beyond his loving care. She taught me that when in distress, I need to throw myself at the feet of Jesus, on the crucifix, in the tabernacle, or in my heart, and pray, "You love me, and nothing else matters." Sometimes I have to pray this prayer very strongly several times before I can calm down enough to get through, but it's his love for me that gets me through. Grounding myself in the truth of his love helps me through life. It doesn't take the pain away, but it does give me perspective. And our Lord's love is bigger than the pain, and it helps me to get through. Our Lady helps us to have faith that evil and suffering do not have the final word. And this is how I can cooperate with it, because my faith teaches me that the end is glorious. Suffering without hope. I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, that's like watching the greatest epics halfway through. You know, I mean, we can think of a lot of different stories. If I stop before the end, that's dismal. But sometimes our life feels like we're always in the middle and never getting to the end, right? But that's what an epic is for those who are in it. It can seem difficult to identify with this perfection of Our Lady, but it is possible. And I have just a few examples of the saints who did this, and it was through Our Lady that they did it. St. Maximilian Kolbe had a very deep and very tender devotion to Our Lady. If you haven't, you should read his writings. It's very sweet, very tender. She was everything to him. His devotion to Our Lady is what enabled him to find peace and consent to the Lord's will in the midst of horrific suffering. He wrote to his mother, "Dear Mama, at the end of the month of May, I was transferred to the camp of Auschwitz. Everything is well in my regard. Be tranquil about my health, because the good God is everywhere and provides for everything with love." He wrote this after he had been at the camp for several weeks. At another point earlier in his life, when tensions were mounting all over Europe, his community was experiencing particular hardship, and we hear his Marian devotion expressed. I see Mary everywhere, and so I see difficulties nowhere. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention my own patroness. The three Fatima children also give us an example of how spending quality time with Our Lady, especially with the rosary, help them to endure severe trials and unite their wills unwaveringly with our Lord. Francisco said, "Our Lady told us we would have much to suffer, but I don't mind. I'll suffer all she wishes. What I want is to go to heaven." He doesn't say this. I mean, he says this with joy and with a willing consent. Jacinta tried to console Lucia, Lucia was lamenting that she had to stay on earth while Jacinta and Francisco would go to heaven soon. Jacinta replied, "Poor thing, don't cry. Lucia, I shall pray a lot in heaven for you. You are going to stay here, but it is what Our Lady wants. If she wanted that for me, I'd gladly stay to convert more sinners." When Francisco was dying, Lucia asked him, when he got to heaven, to ask Our Lady to take her to heaven soon. Francisco replied, "That I won't ask. You know very well she doesn't want you there yet." Unwavering fiat to our Lord's will. When the children thought they were going to be martyred, Jacinta said, "If they kill us, it does not matter. We'll go straight to heaven." We see in these saints how devotion to Our Lady, especially through the rosary, enabled them to say fiat in the worst of circumstances. They truly loved our Lord's will. That's what devotion to Our Lady does for us. She teaches us to fall in love with our Lord to the point of uniting our wills to his, even in the face of death. The children and Maximilian Kolbe had confidence that the greatest evil could not take them out of our Lord's loving providence. Now, this is a truly transforming way of life, and the growth is slow and deep and steady over time. So I just encourage you to have as much patience with yourself as Our Lady has with you. As we grow in this with her, take the time. It's worth the time. She will work very gently with you through the rosary and through contemplation of Scripture. You will see the fruit. Studying Our Lady's life through meditation, imitation, and the rosary helps me to have this disposition of fiat. It helps me to be ready to say yes to him, to say fiat in the yes and the in the big and the small things. And this is her secret, her way of life, the way she lives in her heart, a joyful, trusting fiat to our Lord, is from spending time with him, knowing him. This daily way of life will give each of us the ability to seek and say yes to the life-changing decisions in our life, to our vocation, to rededicating ourselves to our vocation. An obstacle to this is the fear of the unknown and hyper-focusing on what we stand to lose. So I'm going to close with some words from Pope Benedict XVI. He also had a very, very tender devotion to Our Lady. It was said of him that he had the mind of a genius, but that he related to our mother with the innocence of a 7-year-old. And he prayed the rosary every day. So we hear a Marian tone in this very passionate homily that he gave during his inauguration mass as Pope. He said, "If we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take something away from us? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? Do we not then risk ending up diminished and depriving ourselves of freedom?" And once again, Pope John Paul II said, "No." So he's quoting Pope John Paul II, who had just passed away. John Paul II said, "No. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No, only in this friendship are the doors of life opened wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. And so today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of a long personal experience of life, I say to you, dear young people, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away and he gives you everything. When you give yourselves to him, when we give ourselves to him, we receive 100-fold in return. Yes, open wide the doors to Christ and you will find true freedom. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So.